Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Or three, let's keep it going. One series not enough. Hey, you're here, you might as well win it, right? Easter Conference semis, Wine and Gold do it in a Game 7. I was going to say for the ages, it is pretty clear that not everybody is on the same page on that.
The most historic come-from-behind Game 7 victory is not good enough for some fans to be considered one for the ages?
Daryl asked, you answered. 216-474-0092. Game 7, first of all, are all Game 7s for the ages? Do we have a poll up for that? Can we ask that question?
Because I think they have to be, don't they?
I would say just by definition of what a Game 7 is because of the stakes, we certainly know what the fans thought the stakes were in the first half. They thought, blow it up. No redeeming qualities. Everyone must go. Liquidation sale. And then they come back and win the game, and Donovan Mitchell puts on that kind of performance in a Game 7. You know, I was half tongue-in-cheek, and somebody said, okay, Yogi Berra. After Game 6, I said, you cannot have a heroic Game 7 performance without a Game 7. Well, we had a Game 7, and now, therefore, you get the heroic Game 7 performance, not just Donovan Mitchell. Did you see, just statistically in this series and in that game, what Evan Mobley defensively ended up giving you?
The last two games, and really even Game 5, the way he locked down Banchero at the end of Game 5, and then the last two games defensively are elite level.
Guys were turning down shots all over the place for Orlando. They wanted nothing to do. You want to talk about having the soul sucked from you to see that physically? Just ask Franz Wagner. That guy lost all the confidence. Remember, earlier in the series, you could make the argument he was one of the best players in the series.
Yeah.
By Game 7, that guy wanted to be anywhere else but on a basketball court.
He might not even been one of the best Wagners in the series by the end.
Right, by the end. You're exactly right. You saw it, facial expression. You saw it, total emotions. He was devastated. He was done for, and that was because of Evan Mobley's defense, and obviously what Donovan Mitchell, you want to talk about a gutsy performance where he had everybody's ear, everybody was following his lead. That is what leadership is all about.
Nobody contested more shots in the first round of the playoffs than Evan Mobley. Nobody blocked more shots than Evan Mobley did.
We're talking all of NBA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the first round of the playoffs, yeah.
He had more blocks than like 14.
He had 21 blocks in the series. 10 of those came in the final two games, five apiece. That incredible. And then not only that, but just the way he got after loose basketballs as well. I mean, he hustled on the defensive end of the floor. Just a tremendous effort from him. would like to see a little more expansion from on the offensive end, but he was equally as viable on the defensive end during this series with Orlando. He was just absolutely sensational inside. And also keep in mind, for three of those games, did not have Jared Allen to cover the back door. Keep that. I mean, that says something too. That, you know,
which is going to open another can of worms about whether or not the two big lineups are going to be a thing of the future. All I care about is right now. I mean, right now I'm thinking about this Cavs team now.
Right now, the NBA is all about chucking 43s a game. That's what the league has become, right? Every team now, J.B. Bickerstaff, even earlier this year, you know, they write down, we need to shoot 30 to 43 pointers per game no matter what. That's our winning formula. And me personally, I hate it. I'm a little more old school. I like using the bigs. And I'm all about taking better percentage shots inside the arc than forcing shots from beyond it. But that's what the NBA has become. And we have seen at times, Anthony, where the Cavaliers have struggled with bigger lineups on the floor. They seem to be better with the 4-1. That I don't know why. I mean, I know the explanation, and that is floor spacing. They're trying to keep the perimeter wide open, create those passing lanes, drive and kick lanes, etc. But man, I Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, I don't think that those two get the credit they deserve. Donovan Mitchell deservedly so gets the spotlight, gets the accolades. Sensational effort in not only in the series but in Game 6 and 7. But I feel like that Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, that combination doesn't get the respect around the league. Or I should say, national media-wise, they do around the league. They're respected within the league. But national media-wise, I don't think those two guys get the respect that they deserve.
Well, overall, this series was largely ignored by the national media. The only reason you're going to get anything out of it now is because it was the one series that ended up going 7 games.
There were no games yesterday, and they put the Cavs in Magic Game 7 at 1 o'clock. Now, I'm not complaining. I was done working by 7:30, 8 o'clock. I was very happy about that. But how is that not a 3:30 game? When there's nothing.
The only game, yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. There were no other playoff games yesterday.
I kept it on. I haven't been able to pay attention.
I'm surprised ABC didn't say, hey, NBA TV, you can take this one. That's how it got treated.
I kept it on. Next thing I know, it was the Miami Grand Prix, which is not in Miami.
So, and not a Grand Prix.
And not a Grand Prix. Oh, we were watching it, and my wife was staring at the TV going, A, why is this on? She said, B, who would pay money to go see this? She's not up on Formula One or any of these behemoths.
By the way, I'm Team Sarah 100% on this.
Okay, I said, I wish we had Ken Carman on because Ken would be able to explain this.
Even though, a breakdown like none other.
But this is not his cup of tea, the Grand Prix. This is not his favorite. Obviously, he's a NASCAR guy. In fact, he'll just watch dirt racing. He doesn't care. He'll sit there and watch Tony Stewart.
He just likes watching stuff that goes in circles.
And she said, why is anybody into this? Nobody's passing each other and there are no wrecks. And I said, this is like more popular than NASCAR now. I will never understand. Either way, it was incredible that was the only playoff game yesterday. So the NBA world was watching and the Cavs came through. They needed to come through. And this is, I think, my larger point. The difference between what that first half was, and if it ends like that, where nobody has any redeeming qualities, you're down on Mobley, you're down on Darius, you're down on Donovan Mitchell. You saw the way he played in the first half. It was, what was he, 3 of 13 at one point? They could not connect from three-point range. The texts I was getting from people that were so mad at me with my Max Strus opinions over the offseason, when I was not high on the signing, they were telling me, you should champions pose, your whole show should be about Max Strus, how bad he is. And then I said, watch, he'll probably come out. He's due for a great Max Strus quarter. I thought it was going to be in the fourth. I was wrong. It was in the third.
Five of eight from the field.
The place
that
exploded.
Catch and shoot was
13
great.
13 points.
Yeah. The place exploded. Yeah. Transition, also off a rebound, because he was having trouble in half court. But loose balls and in transition, that is where Max Strus like ignites the entire building when those go down, because it feels like found money. It feels like a bonus.
Is it wrong that I just laughed when you said Max Strus ignites the building?
Why? What's wrong with that?
Just amusing to me, that's all.
And that's what he did, though.
I know.
Did he not?
You know what?
Sam Merrill, too, in the second quarter. The Sam Merrill minutes and connecting on those two, because they knew it was coming. The way that
One Mississippi.
That's how quick it was, though. Because Greg Anthony's kid, who his first name escapes me. Cole. He's just Greg Anthony's kid. Until he wins the series, he doesn't get his own name.
Which I didn't know until halftime of yesterday.
You didn't know that? So he was chasing from behind, and he knew the look on his face was like, oh, no. I gave him you know, they were all schooled. It's a series. Nobody's going to surprise you at this point. And he was following closely from behind. And then, boom, Merrill gets that off. And it was incredible. And he hit another one. I know fans wanted him to, like, start the third quarter. That wasn't going to happen. We didn't see Merrill again.
Start the third quarter. They probably wanted him to start the game.
Yeah, probably. So you needed some other things to come together. But it was Donovan. Donovan got all of those guys more and more confident as the game progressed.
What was nice about it was, as great as Donovan was, it didn't have to be all Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
The supporting cast chimed in. Again, going back to the LeBron years, that first LeBron 1.0, as I like to call it, it was all LeBron having to carry the team on his back, right? LeBron 2.0, he had a supporting cast. Here with Donovan, in game six, it was Donovan, and that was it, trying to carry the load by himself, hence the 50-cent piece. And then in game seven, as he got going in that third quarter, his teammates joined the party. And that was so refreshing to see, because as I was sitting there watching the Cavaliers inch closer and closer, and then they took the lead, I'm thinking in my head, does he have enough in the tank to carry this home by himself? Because despite what Donovan said post-game, was like, yeah, you know, I had confidence in my teammates, always believing, whatever. I had no confidence in anybody. I'm not going to lie. I'm just like, can Donovan take this thing home like he did in game six? Because Darius wasn't shooting particularly well. Yeah, you got a little bump. You know, Karis kept him afloat a little bit. Sam Merrill woke up a little bit there. Struce, but I was sitting there just praying that Donovan had like another 20 points in him for the fourth quarter to get him over the top. And they didn't need that. They didn't need him to play hero ball. And you know what? The Cavaliers, for as sloppy as they were in the first half, and it was I think it would be offensive to call what they were running on offense in the first half. It was that bad. But the way things worked and how smoothly might be a little bit of an exaggeration, but it was vastly improved in the fourth quarter on the offensive end.
It was, and it made all the difference in the world. The question is, did J.B. Bickerstaff make a difference yesterday? We have somebody who thought so. We'll play that audio for you next. And anybody giving the Cavs a shot to steal one in Boston? I think some people in this room will. 216-474-0092. That's coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. It is Anthony Lima for Extentic. Audio courtesy of ABC. Game 7 in the books. Cavs creating some memories for the fans. And apparently, Mike Breen on the call, always terrific. Was that three not worthy of a Mike Breen bang? Did we not get a bang out of the Game 7 yesterday?
I think we got some bangs. I don't know if that one got a bang.
Well, he's famously had a double bang earlier in the playoffs.
Yeah.
The Knicks series against the Boston Celtics, against Philadelphia. But you had Breen on the call, you had Doris Burke, you had the number one announced crew, and that was the most attention your game in this series, any of the games, have gotten.
Two favorite guys I love in the postseason, Mike Breen and Kevin Harlan. They're just on another level when it comes to calling postseason basketball. Both of those guys, I could listen to them at any time or place calling games, and it was great that Doris was in town, and then they had
Redick too, right?
You know what? He's been the addition. Since they changed up the rotation.
Well, until he goes to coach the Lakers.
Here's the biggest problem for Ken Carman, going on his little I thought the Cavs were going to be done, so I'm taking vacation.
Mm-hmm. What's the problem, Daryl?
He missed Doris Burke.
He missed his girl, Doris.
I'm sure he heard it, though. You can't put it on mute on the cruise.
I don't know how that works. I don't know what room would he have had to go in. Did he have to avoid the karaoke suite? He had to keep moving on to find somewhere where they had like, the sports book.
How do you risk not getting to see your girl Doris Burke?
There's got to be a Friends of Doris meeting there, where it's just people that watch NBA playoff games together.
Like what was Ken thinking?
I know he was watching. I will say this: I know he was watching. It was agonizing for him. He said this was out of his control. This was Liz did all the scheduling.
She did set this up.
She set it up, so he did not want to hear anybody saying that he was dodging
the
Cavs.
Yes.
But the reality is he called the Cavs an unserious team 2 weeks ago.
That is true.
And they are still playing basketball. They are still playing Eastern Conference semis. JB and the Cavs letting them know. Moving on.
Donovan Mitchell still playing. LeBron James is gone fishing.
That's right. Kevin Durant and Devin Booker.
Fishing.
Gone fishing. Jimmy Butler and the voodoo Miami Heat gone fishing. They're gone. Joel Embiid gone fishing. The list goes on. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George.
Gone fishing.
Gone fishing.
I'd say there's at least 22 teams that are fishing.
That's right. And
the
you know
Cavs?
What? Your Cavs are still playing basketball.
Are not fishing.
And J.B. Bickerstaff, who basically everybody had fired at halftime.
At halftime? At the end of the first quarter?
I mean, Dan Gilbert,
3 minutes into the game.
Dan Gilbert was sitting there on the baseline in his seat.
You could see the mushroom cloud on top of his head.
Just holding a pink slip. Everybody else was waving towels. He was holding a pink slip.
If this were a public trust, if this were...
That was not the rally towel Ahmad was calling for. Okay.
Well, if this were a government commission, if this was anything, I'd be asking. I would have filed a public information request for his text messages during the first half of that game, because that was a mighty, mighty big performance. So, what does it mean for JB Bickerstaff, much maligned and rightfully so? What does it mean for him? Because I was a little surprised when I heard this, Danny Cunningham earlier in the show. With this, in terms of an evaluation for J.B. Bickerstaff.
I thought he did about as good a job as you can do in a game seven. You know, when your back is up against the wall and you got to do some desperate things, it'll lead to some pretty interesting results. I thought Sam Merrill was exactly what they needed. Maybe he could have gone to him earlier, but, you know, I think that's just kind of being a little bit nitpicky, and I'm not interested in doing that.
All right, so Danny Cunningham came on earlier and said he thought overall, of course, it's a seven-game series, that JB deserves some credit. And so I'll ask the fans, 216-474-0092, do you think he deserves some credit? I absolutely think he deserves some credit. And that's also from somebody who thought you could have easily fired him after the Knicks series last year. And I understand the roller coaster of a year that drove fans crazy. I did defend Bickerstaff countless times, not his rotations, not any of that. I defended him in saying, he didn't have his roster the whole year. He didn't have his starting five. And Donovan Mitchell's injury in the second half of the year, really the last third of the year, I think he, by and large, was able to pluck out some wins that I didn't think he'd be able to.
They won two of the final three games in the series without Jared Allen.
But what are you giving him credit for? For the whole season, for the series, or just game seven? Because
all
I think
it.
There's... I don't know that you can give him credit for the whole series.
Well,
especially.
It was embarrassing. With what
I mean,
happened,
Orlando shot horribly the first two games.
Well, they shot
horribly.
That's
not a JB thing. That's them not winning.
I do think the defense, the mismatches that they attacked, I think you'll notice starting really in the second half of game five, let's find Franz Wagner and let's go after him. And they picked apart the Magic's defense with some of those matchup issues. Look, the Cavs didn't shoot well all series again.
Yeah.
And that is something they're going to have to answer for, and JB is going to have to answer for. This is not a team that is...
Well, why does JB have to answer for the poor shooting? He's not out there missing the shots.
Right, so you know, whether or not...
But there
like,
is the part
not,
of it. Like,
they, you, not, is he not having them shoot enough in practice or something?
Well, when you look at like game five, right? He made the call to bring Morris in who had not played a meaningful minute yet in the series, right? He came in mop-up duty when they were in Orlando.
And it
They
works.
Brought him in and it worked. And then he started him in game six. And it, I mean, he did nothing in that game.
I know, but
along with everyone else, except for Donovan Mitchell,
his,
did nothing
his
in
hand
that game.
Got pushed there, though, too. Like, I understand why he did it.
But it felt like to me, it wasn't until game seven where he was like, okay, this is not working right now. We've got to make a move. And that was the Merrill, bringing
right.
Merrill in the second quarter. That's why I'm saying I'm not discounting what he did in game seven, JB Bickerstaff, but the whole series, If you're giving him credit for the whole series, I don't know if you're watching the same series that I was.
Well, yeah, but wait, Daryl, before you go, if we are picking apart the roster construction like we were in the first half yesterday, when my whole timeline was knew it, Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland, they don't work. Evan Mobley's not quite ready offensively. And look at how bad Max Strus is. Look at how bad George Niang is. They couldn't even get Ty Jerome. Then how can you, in the same vein, make it be JB's fault? Like, if you thought the roster...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Roster construction was lousy at that point, and you're watching guys just miss jump shot after jump shot.
Yeah, because JB's working with what he's given. But here's my
That's what I mean. How is JB the scapegoat?
If you're going to rip JB when they lose, then you've got to give the guy credit when they win. That's my whole point. I think that too many fans, they just want to rip JB endlessly. And I understand, look, my worst fear a couple of years ago with JB, I said, I like him a lot. I think he's done a real good job stabilizing the ship, because when he took it over, it was a bit of a clown show dumpster fire with the whole John Beilein situation. He did a good job developing these guys, but I worry that he's the guy that develops them, and then you've got to go ahead and hire the proverbial coach to take you where you want to go. And the way this started and was going, those thoughts were creeping into my head as well. I do believe, to your point, I feel like JB has taken them as far as he can take them. I believe that. I don't know that I envision JB Bickerstaff on the sideline with the Cavaliers in the conference finals or in the NBA finals, even though I don't even know if there's a scenario in my mind where...
Well, if you do that, envision him just arguing with the refs instead of coaching the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, because... And to me, that's my biggest criticism of him, is that I feel like Donovan Mitchell's doing more coaching than JB Bickerstaff is.
Well, we talk about Mitchell and Garland together. I don't know if Garland can play in the playoffs anywhere if Donovan Mitchell's not over there, you know, after every shot
going,
it's going to be okay. You'll get the next one, bud.
He really was. He was his therapist, like in game, making sure to squeeze every last thing he could out of Darius.
That concerns me about Darius.
Well, his confidence levels always kind of ride that roller coaster. Now, he did shoot the ball from three well all series, better than anybody else in the series on either team. So that was important, but... You know, do I have confidence in Darius down the stretch of a game where he has to be the guy?
When your probably body language was where it was early in the fourth quarter, and we're trying to close out a series here, and you look like you're like, just don't get it to me again. I can't hit it.
I'll say this, In game five, he did blow by Jalen Suggs and drop it off to Evan Mobley. I want to get to the phones here, Daryl. 216-474-0092. JB Bickerstaff, does he now deserve a little bit of credit? Even if you hated his guts all season long, how did you feel about him yesterday and throughout the series? Jeremy, in Fort Worth, Texas, you're next up on the Fan.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate all the coverage. You guys are great. I think, in my opinion, the only thing that he deserves credit for is just not making things worse. It seems like, I'm not saying that throughout the season we just make excuses for him.
Sound like
it
my boss. Like thanks, Jeremy.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't love Donovan Mitchell's game that much, right? Like, I get it. He's good. He had some of the most impressive runs of layups I've ever seen. I mean, that guy can penetrate, and he's got the layup game down. And I think when it comes to Donovan Mitchell, I think he's a developing player. I think someday he is going to be great. But between Donovan Mitchell and Tristan Thompson, I think they're the ones that are coaching the team. I think Bickerstaff is just standing around like a hood ornament, trying not to make things worse. And whenever he doesn't know what to do, he yells at the ref.
All right. Thank you, Jeremy. I do think people get a little carried away with, like, looking over in blowout losses at the coach and saying, he's not doing anything.
Getting the shot that the TV truck wants you to see.
And the Miami Heat, did you watch their series against Boston? That was Spoelstra the entire series.
Well, and how many times did LeBron get accused of being the head coach of the Cavs too, right? I mean, I used to watch those timeouts all the time, and it was LeBron that was doing the talking in the huddle. Right, you know what I mean?
And by the way, how did Ty Lue? Everybody wants Ty Lue. People want the Lakers to get Ty Lue.
What was it, the Bulls game,
right? Did you
see
Ty Lue this year in the playoffs?
What was it, the Bulls series? The LeBron hit the shot late. They get in the huddle. Yeah. Ty draws something up, and LeBron's like, yeah, we're not running that. Right?
Well, he had a moment with
Blatt.
No,
that wasn't Ty.
It was Blatt.
That was
Blatt. I'm sorry. It was David Blatt. I'm sorry.
But you're exactly right. You know, it's still the NBA, and I watch a bunch of that Knicks series. And do you think Tibbs was doing a lot of offensive coaching in that series? It was Jalen Brunson, go to work. And that's exactly what happened. Twitter reaction, X reaction, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Soul and Comet Phil says 100% JB should get the credit in the last game. He pulled the right strings. I mean, he had the right balance of Merrill, right?
Yeah.
Look,
I don't disagree with that, but it's more than one game.
Well, and here's the and
the series is more than one game.
And the other thing too is when you're talking about pulling the right, sometimes it is throwing stuff against the wall and hoping something sticks.
The playoffs.
That's just the reality.
That's how the Golden State Warriors in 2015 stumbled into their death lineup. They weren't running that all season long. That wasn't something that they had always ready to go at all times. Ross in Cleveland, next up on the Fan.
Lima, listen, the last caller is dead on. Jared Allen, last year they went 1-4 in the playoffs with Jared Allen. This year they were forced into this adjustment. The only game they competed on the road was without Jared Allen. JB did nothing. Yesterday, the only reason they put Merrill in was because Strus and Garland each picked up three early fouls. I mean, come on. This guy lucked into the change that was necessary for us to barely beat a super young team in seven games. And they got embarrassed in the two road games.
The fan base was ready to have a mutiny when it came to Max Strus because of all the nonsense in the first half, the bickering. The refs were calling cheap stuff on him because he wouldn't stop complaining, and he couldn't hit a shot. Like, if we're supposed to ride that wave and pull the right strings, like, I think some coaches would not have gone back to Max Strus there in the second half. And look what he did in the third quarter.
I mean, they played Max Strus 40 minutes every game. So, again, just like Jared Allen, they would have kept playing Jared Allen 35, 40 minutes a game if he didn't get hurt. They're just not a team that makes any adjustments. They were forced into the adjustment necessary to win this series. He should get no credit whatsoever.
So wait a second.
Has my vote.
If Jared Allen is healthy, in that game seven, what, you're telling me you wouldn't play him?
I'm saying I would play him, but I would probably give him like 24 minutes. I would stagger him and Mobley, and you can't play double centers in 2024 in the NBA. It's been proven time and again. This is not Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
All right. With that said, thank you for the call, Ross. Your mail-in vote has been cast. I will say that the one advantage they have over this Boston Celtics team would be playing Jared Allen and Evan Mobley together.
Yeah, but
it's the one series where I think this would be an advantage.
They're not going to be able to, though.
I know.
That is the one thing that worries me going into this series most, is that you can't play that combination because, and even if you can, I don't know that Jared Allen is going to be able to give you what you need from him. So you might be better off not even playing him to begin with. Because if he can't extend, if his core is as compromised as I personally think it is, I don't think you can play Jarrett. I really don't.
Yeah, we can't put him in some sort of bodysuit that just raises his arms in the air all the time.
Oh, you mean, what was the movie? The cast?
Yes.
I
don't know what it is.
It was one of the Adam Sandler movies.
I was thinking of The Karate Kid, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. Ace bandaged it up.
Yeah, he had it all bandaged up.
No, Buscemi's in the body cast with the arm. I think it was like Grown Ups 2 or something. Grown Ups. Okay, there we go.
Was that movie long enough for you, Mitch? 92 minutes?
It wasn't funny enough.
216.
I'm just impressed he watched an Adam Sandler movie.
0092.
Strike three.
When we come back, all right, we'll finish that discussion on JB Bickerstaff. I do want to finally play some clips from the Tom Brady roast. Apparently, he admitted to Deflategate. Is there an asterisk by all his Super Bowls? That's coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. All right, final segment where we love bringing in Mitch, and he, in his own way, is able to scour the internet and find some of the best clips that we couldn't get to.
He does have access to it.
And because we had Game 7 yesterday, we didn't have a chance to get to the Tom Brady roast, which I didn't even know was a thing on Friday when we left. And then all of a sudden, they've got Jeffrey Ross, the roast master, Nikki Glaser, Bert Kreischer. Was Kevin Hart there as well?
He was there.
He was the
Tony
host.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
But most of the, from Kill Tony, most of the people that I saw the clips that were out there on the internet were all from either Tom Brady, Belichick. So I was very excited to see what we missed, and that's where you step in, Mitch. Please.
For sure. I have a lot of Brady clips here from some of the jokes he got to towards the end of the show. We had one where he kind of got into a range of topics, including one about his former quarterback, Drew Bledsoe, and a national tragedy that occurred in September of 2001.
Of America, I'll always remember where I was that fateful day in September of 2001 when tragically those two Jets slammed into Drew Bledsoe.
Daryl's mouth is open. He is staring at me going, what?
Talk about a tease.
You got a problem with that, Daryl? It's a roast.
No, I know.
They're not all going to be warm and fuzzy at the roast, Daryl.
Clearly.
Continue on, Mitch.
This one isn't going to be much warm and fuzzy either. Brady talked about how the bar was not originally set high for Patriots tight ends.
The bar for Patriot tight ends was pretty low back then. Block, catch, don't murder.
Now that's good. It's not too soon, right?
It's been about 10 years,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah,
it's been 10 years.
ESPN did a whole documentary on it.
Since the initial arrest.
Yeah, if there's going to be OJ jokes, I mean, we can do Aaron Hernandez jokes.
That's fair.
All right, continue on.
I got a little getting even to do.
We got Tom talking about his former head coach's Bill Belichick's personal life.
Everybody asks me which ring is my favorite. I used to say the next one. But now that I'm retired, my favorite ring is the camera that caught Coach Belichick slinking out of that poor girl's house at 6 a.m. a few months ago.
Ken says that
it's not done.
Oh, sorry.
Hey, you still got it.
Ken says that was not real. That was 100% real.
The way the Patriots players, though, were reacting, and Belichick had that stone look on his face, like, it might have been real.
I think it was.
Yeah. It was 100% real.
Belichick
was great.
Gave it away. Yeah, it was real.
Was it some cottage, like Nantucket or something?
Yeah, that's
or was
where
it?
He owns 8 houses for each of his rings. 2 as the defensive coordinator, 6 as the head.
And finally, from Brady, we had here him addressing the most controversial period of his career.
Finally,
the question on everyone's mind: Deflategate. Here's what the GOAT had to say.
Remember Deflategate? The NFL spent $20 million and found that it was more probable than not that I was generally aware that someone may have deflated my footballs. You could have just given me the $20 million and I would just told you I did it.
Asterisk, let's go. They lose all the Super Bowls now. I thought overall, Mitch, pretty good, right? Like the entire, they said Nikki Glaser killed. She was the best.
She was pretty good. Hinchcliffe had my favorite joke of the entire night that was not towards Brady. I mean, the only one that I heard some people didn't think that did a very good job was Ben Affleck, of all people.
So does this mean that Tom Brady's running for president in like 8 years?
Why do you say that? Ooh. Oh, because of the roast? They've roasted a lot of people who've not run for president. Daryl, come on.
Too soon for that joke?
No, that's fine. I love a good roast. We haven't had one in a while. They used to be the Comedy Central roast. But they were so overly produced that you got like some butchered applause breaks and some just the Chevy Chase one is the one that's going to go down in history as the absolute worst roast of all time. Like, you got to be a good sport about it. And he was not a good sport. He looked like irritated to be there.
The William Shatner roast was top notch.
They all are amazing. Jeffrey Ross is incredible. We had Nikki Glaser in studio for like an hour. That was before her career took off, because Nikki Glaser now wouldn't give us a minute. But she gave us an entire hour, and she was breaking down my dating habits, what was going on in my personal life. She crushed me for like an hour. And then I went,
wasn't the first, won't be the last.
That's true. I'll tell you about that off the air, Daryl. Okay. So, Cavaliers are moving on. How much of a shot, since you won't be here tomorrow, how much of a shot do they have to steal one of those games in Boston? Mind you, short turnaround, and Jared Allen, it does not look like he's going to be available in Boston. So, given that, they are 11-point underdogs. Vegas thinks you are absolutely going to get annihilated, not only in this game, but this series.
I think it's going to be a six-game series. Cavs win two.
So they're definitely winning one of these games. If it's going six.
They steal one of the... I don't know that they win tomorrow night, because I feel like there's going to be a physical and emotional hangover from this series. But I think game two is the one that they could steal. Come back to Cleveland 1-1.
So I am really curious to see how the Celtics come out. Are they just going to live and die with the jump shot? Is Evan Mobley as a paint
protector?
That would
help the Cavs, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, look, if Boston is hot, nobody's beating them. Like, right. That, I don't care who it is. When they have their games where they are hot, they are unbeatable. But they don't have Porzingis. And Porzingis was the guy to stretch the floor and also still a very capable shot blocker. And he's just another big body. You saw how the Cavs struggled with all that length and size of Orlando. Well, Jalen Suggs, no walk in the park, right? Like, we know how hard he made them work. Against the Celtics, you've got Derek White and Drew Holiday. The two of those guys are going to bother Darius and Donovan. If he's limping, they're going to bother him. The good news is Donovan Mitchell can still, even hobbling, can get by those perimeter defenders. But then it's like another wave, because Jaylen Brown is switchable and versatile and can defend essentially all five positions.
My thing with the Cavs is they're going to need Jared Allen at some point in this series. I just don't know that he's going to be available, considering the significance of that rib injury. And they're a better matchup if Allen's available. And I know that there's fans that don't like the Mobley-Allen combination, but I think against Boston, it works. And unfortunately, JB is going to have to find a way to come up with the similar to Orlando. Even if he has to stumble into him by throwing stuff against the wall, he's going to have to find some way. But if Boston wants to come shoot jump shots for this series, I think that benefits the Cavaliers.
Well, they do. They fall in love with the jumper. You know, we talk so much about JB Bickerstaff.
I would argue that that's Boston's Achilles heel, is when they fall into those habits. But when they're running their offense, look, I think Boston's going to win the NBA championship. It's painful for me to say. We've already covered how much I detest Boston fan. It's painful for me to say I think the Celtics are going to win another championship. But the debt, what could possibly derail it for them, is when they get jump shot happy. So I'm all for it. Shoot all the jumpers you want.
Max Strus kind of came on here at the end of the series, had that huge third quarter. He is going to be vital, because he's going to have to guard all of those guys. He's going to be stuck on Jaylen Brown a lot in that series. And last time, Jaylen Brown earlier in the season was matched up a bunch with Max Strus. He was giving him the you're too small, and it got a little feisty. And Max Strus is going to be feisty.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a huge player. Last year, he had some nice outings from three-point range against the Celtics in the series.
Anthony.
Cavs are really going to need George Niang.
The Cavs have played the Celtics 7 times in the regular season, mm-hmm, since Donovan Mitchell has joined the team.
What do you got?
They're 4-3 against them.
Boom.
I think. We're not goes scared. Down to seven. I think the Cavs win it 4-3. I mean, come on. I don't actually think that.
All right.
Would have been better if you would have just left the whisper
that.
Out.
All right. Daryl, thanks for coming in.
You bet.
We'll talk to you again. Also, and great thing, Daryl's not doing locker cleanout today, which we thought in the first half he was going to be doing.
Daryl's not doing office cleanout today. Forget locker cleanout. We're not doing office cleanout.
Right.
The mushroom cloud is not hanging over the Cavs.
Good point.
Thank the Lord for that.
You would have got Kobe Altman's desk.
I might have.
For the last time.
For the last time. Danny Cunningham, appreciate him coming on. Also, Mitch Spinell, appreciate the last segment there and all your work. And, of course, Owen, Big Country. We'll be back tomorrow. Is Jason Lloyd in for Kenny?
He is our guest host.
Oh, boy. That's tomorrow. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you tomorrow.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.